Aren't you excited about getting to go see the king? I tell you, people will go a long way to go see the president, the queen of England, and all the dignitaries. We're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. There is none above him. Hallelujah. That ought to make us excited. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning for Sunday school. Thank you, musicians and singers. And thank you for coming. I tell you, it's a beautiful day today. I thought spring had sprung. Maybe summer was here, but felt like winter was back the other morning when I got up. Lord have mercy. But thank God for another beautiful day of his love and his mercy. Amen. I want to teach just a little bit this morning. That first song they sang goes along quite well with what our lesson is about this morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I had nothing to offer, but he just simply loved me for who I was. Amen. And who I am. And we've titled this lesson this morning, Love the First Fruit. Amen. Amen. I'll read a scripture. And you're hearing this morning if you'd like to stand, and then you can be seated. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you very much for standing. Verse 9 goes on to say, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." You want people to see God in you? Love one another as he loved us. Amen. Verse 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And I think it was mentioned a Sunday or a service ago about testifying. If you're going to testify something, you got to know the facts. You got to have been there, done that, experienced that to be able to testify. Hearsay evidence is not admissible in court. Amen. So we have seen and we do testify. Verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Boy, he's trying to drive home a point. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Whew. We'll read that again. "Because as he is, so are we in this world." That's pretty strong stuff. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Amen. Amen. And he said, and this is a commandment. He said, this is not an option. This is not if you want to. He said, it's a commandment. And we have to obey his commandments. So love is the first fruit. And A lot of times when we think about first fruit, and we mention that, we think about Jesus' resurrection, about him being the first fruit, his death, burial, and his resurrection coming out of the ground, and his being symbolic of the first fruit. Galatians 5, chapter 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I think it very unique, and I really don't think it's happenstance, that love was mentioned first. Because if you have love, true love of God and your fellow man, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that's a given. But we have to have love. Love is the first fruit. Amen. Love is the most essential quality in a Christian's life. I tell you, it's the foundation of your relationship to God and to others. And by the love of God, he redeemed us, but yet in his love, we are made perfect. By his love, we were redeemed, but dwelling in his love, we are made perfect. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's always had great neighbors? I haven't either. But I loved them. I tell you what, I did all I could do to love them. Sometimes. But I love my neighbors, good and bad. That's just like the first commandment. It says the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I just told you, love is the first fruit in the fruit of the Spirit. Everything else is going to take care of itself. Because that virtue, all the law and the prophets hang on that. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 8 when he told those people that. And he said that if we truly love God and our neighbor, you will naturally keep the commandments. Amen. Rather than worrying about all we should not do, I'm telling you, we ought to concentrate on all that we can do to show our love for God and others. And the things that we're not supposed to do are going to take care of themselves if we love like we're supposed to love, if we allow love to be the first fruit. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We must obey the law of love, which will supersede all religious and civil law. Now, we're not encouraged to fall back on something like the love of God or the love of the first fruit just because we want to violate a law. But civil law and religious law will take care of itself if you love like we're supposed to love. Amen. And it's easy sometimes to excuse our indifference to people and to others because we have no legal obligation to help them. And a lot of times it seems easy to justify living in the carnal in harming them just because we don't agree with them or our actions might be legal technically. Some people just want to see other people get their comeuppance. You know, somebody does something to you, okay, I can't wait. And sometimes I live on a highway. People know where I live. I pick up trash every day in my yard and in the ditch. And most of the time, it's got McDonald's, Burger King, Dairy Queen. I can tell you exactly how long it takes to buy a biscuit at McDonald's and finish it. 2.2 miles and you can eat a biscuit from McDonald's. Because that bag is in my yard. And sometimes you just want to say, Lord, just let them quit the road and hit that big old tree. But you can't do that. You pick up the bag and you go throw it in the garbage. Do what's right. I'm telling you, there are no loopholes in the law of God. There are no gray areas in the law of God. It is the first fruit, the law of love. I tell you, we have to go above and beyond human legal requirements to imitate the love of God. Amen, amen. Love, the first fruit. I tell you, if God had left it up to us to draw up the rules or specifications by how he could recognize his people, what would we do? Would it be faithfulness to church? Would it be our appearance? Would it be doctrinal purity? What would we come up with? And without a doubt, I do believe gathering together as like believers is essential to being a Christian. This is where I fuel up. This is where I get encouraged by you, and I try to encourage somebody else. And I believe that's essential. And certainly to know and to love the truth is necessary. And certainly to represent yourself and your family and your church well when you go out and about in your daily activities of life. Sure, that's important. But I tell you, when given the quality and the what it took to be identified as a disciple of Christ, Jesus did not mention one of those things. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love is the distinguishing characteristic. That's what he told us. Love is more than just a warm feeling. I tell you, it's an attitude that reveals itself through action. It's mighty simple to say I love you, but it's something else to show that love by your action. And that's what he is telling us. You love one another as I have loved you. And he did more than just tell them you loved them. He did for those people. He gave everything he had, culminating on a cross of Calvary and giving his life. I tell you, love is the distinguishing characteristic. Jesus described the love which proved discipleship when he said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Jesus said our Christ-like love is going to show that we are his disciples. That's going to be the distinguishing characteristic. People are going to know that you are a follower of Christ by your love one for another. Amen. As I have loved you, that statement that he made, it goes way beyond love that may be portrayed in the advertising world out of Madison Avenue or the media out of Hollywood. I tell you, sometimes that's nothing but a carnal, twisted view of love. Amen. But I'm talking about Calvary love. I'm talking about love that exceeds everything you can imagine. True love, Calvary love. And I tell you, it made Jesus love us when we were unlovable and when we were sinners and when we were without him and we were destitute, loved us anyway. Amen, amen. So the first thing, how was God's love manifested? God has a lot of characteristics: strength, power, wisdom, knowledge, judgment. They all are aspects of God to describe God. And Scripture even speaks about the wrath of God. But never do we read God is wrath. We never read that part. All we read is God is love. As we read in 1 John 4:8 a while ago, all that God is and all that he does is founded solidly in the statement and the fact that God is love. Amen. Everything he does, love shapes and forms all else that he is and that he does. Even his wrath is tempered by his love. Sometimes he would get enough. He told Moses, back up. I'm fixing to slaughter the whole mess of them. I can start all over. Thank God for Moses' love that said, if you do, take me with them. I don't want you to be a laughingstock, God, in the eyes of other people. And God tempered his wrath on account of Moses and his love for those people. So even his wrath is tempered by his love. And I'll tell you, this love of God It's not just something he speaks of. It prompts him to action. His love is manifested. And many times when I was at work and things would come across my desk, things being brought in from outside sources, there would always be a manifest or a bill of lading. It was a true bill that would tell you exactly what was in that truck or what was being brought in boxes. It was manifested on that sheet of paper. It was a proven thing. And his love is the same way. It's just not spoken. His love is manifested toward us. 1 John 4:9, we read in our text, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." So his love is not only spoken, but it is proven and manifested. Amen. Love in redemption. God gave us love in redemption. And a whole lot that is called and passes for love in our day and time is just tainted with selfishness. And a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, rather than being based on scriptural love, are simply founded on mutual benefit. You know, what you can do for me or what can I do for you, not on scriptural love. And that's a dangerous thing. And I tell you, God, he gave us an example in unselfish love. Why? Because he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. John 3:16, a very familiar passage of Scripture. God's love was totally giving in nature. Everything he did, he gave.